Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Disturbing development of Afghanistan, even though, if that's possible, there's been nothing but disturbing developments, but reporting the Wall Street Journal yesterday that a number of former intelligence officers and elite military units trained by the United States have now joined ISIS to fight the Taliban. Now, that may seem strange to you. You think Taliban and ISIS are the same thing or very similar. Why would any of that happen? Let's unpack that. Let's take a good look at history. When Afghanistan fell to the Taliban are sadistic murderers. They went around murdering people who would collaborate with the United States. In our evacuation from Afghanistan, we didn't do it right, in my opinion. Biden did his best, but didn't do it right. So basically, anybody who gets to the airport, we'd load on the planes, got out 124,000 people. They were not all interpreters. We didn't have 124,000 interpreters. And there were a number of people that were left behind, were murdered, put in the public square and murdered, raped and murdered. Some of the people in those planes had been let through by the Taliban itself. They're being relocated all over the country, Fort McCoy. There are two people right now in jail from that group in Dane County for sexual assault that occurred at Fort McCoy. A group of them down in Texas raped an American woman, a guard, one of the guards, and a number of them just escaped. They leave, more than 700 in one location. Because they're not under arrest, they just leave. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're doing. Other than the people who are actually interpreters and loyal to us, the rest should have been relocated in Islamic countries, not in the United States. We do not need introduction of that culture any more than we already have it. It's already resulted in 9/11, the Boston Marathon, San Bernardino, Orlando, Fort Hood, Chelsea, Manhattan bike path murders, and so on. But anyway, to get back to Afghanistan, what happened to people who were left behind and were intelligence officers and elite military units trained by the United States? Why would they join ISIS? Believe it or not, because ISIS hates the Taliban and the Taliban hates ISIS. They're like two rival motorcycle gangs, violent and sadistic, and they want to be in control. They're very similar. They're both Sunni Muslims, not Shiites. You've read about all of those bombings of mosques over there. You might say, well, who's bombing mosques? Sunnis are bombing Shiite mosques. Those are Shiites. What's the difference? I'm not going to get into 1,300 years of history. You can go Google it yourself. But basically, Shiites are people who, when the prophet died, felt that his son-in-law should take over. And Sunnis are the people who thought when the prophet died, one of his close friends should take over. And 90% of the Muslims in the world are Sunnis and 10% are Shiites. And their main headquarters is in Iran. And they're routinely murdered in Sunni majority countries, just like Christians and other minorities. So the Taliban murder Hazaras. They are a different ethnic group. They're murdered by race. And why would two Sunni Muslim groups fight each other? Well, first of all, ISIS in Pakistan may be ethnically different from some of the Taliban. And secondly, even though they have the same religion, they both want to be in control. So these former intelligence officers and elite military people have left to join ISIS because they are now the only group left who are fighting the Taliban. Taliban are in charge of the country, mismanaging it, stealing money, murdering people, and so on. We are going to have to help feed that population. And frankly, we've got to help feed the populations in Africa and Madagascar and everywhere else too. If you take a look at some of the videos there, climate change and drought and so on, people are starving. Human beings, I don't care where they are or what their political doctrine or what their religion, must not be permitted to starve. That is our cultural imperative. They must not be permitted to starve. They must be fed. Now, in Madagascar, Europe and the United States are wealthy enough to feed them and Africa to tide them over. Very, very hard to instill the sense of private property and industry and farming and all of that. That took 1,000 years to develop in Europe. You can't do it in 2 years overnight in Madagascar. The problem with Afghanistan and some of the places, even in Africa, that are controlled by Islamic military people, is that if you bring in food, they will steal it. They will deny it and starve ethnic and religious groups that aren't theirs. They have no problem starving and killing people. If you airlift it, let's say you have planes just fly in, then parachute it down, people swarm out of the woods and kill each other, and the military will steal it and starve people. You have to make a decision how you distribute it and how you do it safely. We don't want to send our military in to feed people because half the country wants the other half killed. We don't want our soldiers killed. Maybe you have to pay and bribe the people in the government. That's the low depths that they have sunk to. But keep in mind right now that as a result of the Taliban taking over, a number of people whom we've trained as intelligence officers and in elite military units are now with ISIS. And our intelligence services have said that now that we're no longer in Afghanistan, ISIS will be able to launch attacks against the West, including the United States, within 6 months. That makes it imperative we not only keep up our defenses, but we are very reluctant to take people in from those countries. Those countries with a jihadist culture, we cannot continue to permit them to come here, because that is the danger that we're facing. It's a mess. You cannot rescue a people from their own culture. You cannot rescue a people from over 1,000 years of this kind of murder. And the best that you can do, I think that Joe Biden is a damn good president, and I think he's done his best. We should have gotten out of Afghanistan. But perhaps there was no good way to do it ultimately. But what seems clear in retrospect is that there's no infrastructure over there. There's no real capitalist economy, no democracy, no sense of fair play or due process. It's tribal and religious murders. And we kept a lid on things while we were there. But you can't have 2,500 of our troops there forever as hostages. Some are going to get picked off. Some are going to get killed. Some of them were killed by Afghan soldiers in uniform who decided to turn. So I think it was right to get out. It's very sad what is occurring over there. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Don't ask me why.